This is the Truth Network. Matt Slick is president and founder of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. Matt is a Master of Divinity and is ordained. He's passionate, and Matt stands firm and lives to defend and promote the Christian faith. Matt Slick doesn't take any Monday through Friday, Matt takes calls from all around the world on his radio show. We've compiled this week's best. Matt Slick's Top 6.
Number 6.
When I did an article on other different kinds of angels in the Bible, and a seraphim, that's found in Isaiah 6:3, probably means something to do with fiery ones. They have six wings, or this is when they manifested, six wings, and they are in the presence of God. Cherubim are often represented as with wings and feet and hands, and described in different forms as having faces, two faces, even four faces. And this is, you know, representation. Are they real? Yeah, they're real beings. And then there's archangels, which is the highest group. It looks like the archangels are, and the cherubim have a certain function, the seraphim have a certain function. Then we have rulers, powers, and we have fallen angels as well.
Number 5.
I definitely would avoid them. Do they teach some good stuff here and there? Yeah. Do they teach some stuff out of the Bible that's pretty good? Yes. Do they teach some stuff that's not very good? And the answer to that, of course, is that's correct. They often will fail to do that. Joyce Myers taught heresy, flat-out heresy. Joel Osteen, in my opinion, is not qualified to be a pastor because he doesn't know basic Christian theology. He has gone on record and has said that Mormons were Christians and then later had to recant. In fact, I went to his church once and walked out feeling really good, felt great. They didn't teach the truth and the depth of God's word. It's a feel-good message, which is why it's so popular. No, I wouldn't recommend them.
Number 4.
I was just wanting to know if you had a perspective on marriage in the afterlife.
There is no marriage in the afterlife. My wife and I will no longer be married when one of us dies, and we're no longer married in the afterlife. The only marriage that will occur in heaven is the marriage with the Lamb, and it's a ceremony, don't know how literal and to what extent, but it's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Marriage is for the purpose of earth, procreation, sexual union and fulfillment, raising of children, and it's to be done in the covenant bonds of the marriage relationship. And marriage is a reflection of the intertrinitarian communion, because it's based upon the created work of God and his intertrinitarian communion of fellowship. And the extension of that is in the covenant aspect between male and female, who are made in God's image.
Number 3.
The church is referred to as the bride of Christ, both men and women. And they were like, I wonder how that relates to the LGBTQ thing and gender things.
It's just a typological, poetic kind of a reference to the church as being a pure bride of God himself. God is referred to as the masculine, and so we, the redeemed, are to join with the Lord in a wedding feast. We are the pure virgin bride. Well, how is that possible? We're pure in the sense that those who have died in Christ, Romans 7:4, have been freed from the law and are no longer under the law, Romans 7:1-4, and when there is no law, there is no sin, Romans 5:13. So we could be said to be pure by proxy. See, there's the symbolism goes in there, and this is what's going on. It has nothing to do with gender fluidity and LGBTQ stuff. It has to do with biblical theological perspectives.
Number 2.
A black man marrying a white woman is never denounced in scripture, but homosexuality is. Well, then it says Jesus never said anything about it. Well, I said, well, that's not true either, because Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. The law says no to homosexuality, so Jesus said no. He's the word. And basically, he just kind of laughed. So how would you respond to somebody like that?
Well, you did a great job. Jesus did say that a father will leave his parents and they'll become wedded to a woman, and the two become one flesh. So what he was doing was talking about man and woman. And interracial marriage is approved of in the Bible. And you can go to Numbers 12, verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. He married a Cushite. That's an Ethiopian woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's black.
Right.
And most probably, I mean, there could have been, you know, whitish people down there. And besides, there's only one race, the human race. I'm immediately reminded of a woman I talked to in Iraq, and she was a Christian, and she said she was a pastor. The Bible said women are not to be pastors and elders. Now, she's in this situation where if men stepped up to be a pastor, they'd be killed, but women could get away with it. So what do you do at that point? I'm like, wow, I never thought of that. The thing I would say is that at that point is she needs to do the best job she can and pray for the elevation of a male into that proper position. You know, what God tells us is what's normative and how things ought to be, but doesn't mean that every single instance and every single time is something we can easily address. And so with something like that, what do you do? Would you rather have people get the gospel or not? Well, get the gospel.
Right.
It's a tough thing. But that's a very unusual situation. Here in America, for example, no, we don't need that. And the reason women pastors exist in America, Western culture, in these churches, is because men aren't doing their jobs.
And now, the end is near.
So long, farewell, I'll be to say adieu.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Matt Slick's Top 6. For more on Matt and his live syndicated call-in radio show, go to truthnetwork.com. Got a question? Matt Slick has your answer. This is the Truth Network.